Welcome to the Penny Arcade Staff Podcast, and today we have with us
a lot
Harry,
of
you. Harry, go. Harry.
Oh, you're looking at me, David?
Yeah. David.
Next.
Cahill, I'm visiting and saying hi.
Cahill, where are you from?
I am from whence place, but I work on PAX as well.
From whence do you hail, friend?
I was just in Australia for a while, and now I'm back in the States.
So you're our cultural ambassador from the East Coast in Australia?
I'm a cultural ambassador from the Australian peoples.
I thought that you were imported from Westeros.
Cheers. I'm a Dothraki, I hope.
All right.
I've got muscles.
You got to grow your hair out more before I trust that you're a Dothraki.
All right, next.
Spoilers, Eric C.K.
I'm Brian.
Spoilers. Hold on, that your name is spelled CK? That's the spoiler? I'm Jeff. We're off the rails. We're just doing intros.
Before we start, this is about. I already forget what's this called.
This is Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
This podcast is going to be most recent season
spoilerific. Yeah.
This podcast is filled with spoilers. We are assuming that anyone who is listening to this has read the books and watched the TV show, although we have half of
or
us.
Or doesn't care about spoilers.
Yeah,
or you don't care about spoilers. Because we are going to just talk about everything freely as if it's common knowledge and we live in Westeros. And
game on.
Or you care about spoilers, but you are being punished, so here you are.
Yes.
Because you're a bad person.
Because I'm apparently a bad person.
If you have any complaints about this, then forward your emails to djdkoff at...
Oh, now we're going to have to set up that
David
email.
davidkoffman.org.edu.tumblr.
Dizzy Kaufman.
Kaufman. All right.
If you have complaints, start a Tumblr about Dave and spoilers.
All right, Brian, this is your topic.
Yeah.
How would you like to start here?
So this whole podcast sort of comes out of a lunch that we had where we ran after the last episode aired, and we started talking about the start was like, is Jon Snow alive or dead? Is he going to be resurrected or whatever? Or did he actually die? So there's your... I'm glad we warned you about spoilers, because there it is.
There it is.
Bam.
But the interesting question I think got asked towards the middle of lunch was that I think that we all thought was kind of a cool thing to think about was, knowing what we know from the TV show and the books, who do you think will be a point of view character in the next book, and who do you want to be? So...
we already talked about. Oh, Hodor. The whole chapter is just Hodor, Hodor.
The other person,
Hodor, Hodor.
Person, I asked Tree Jeff this, Jeff Lee.
But you gotta tell Hodor us why.
Why?
Yeah. Because
it was a throwaway joke. Josh, have you seen the show?
No, I have not seen a single episode. Or read a single page of the book.
Hodor is a
he got kicked in the head.
Is a servant who
that's
yeah,
all
he was
says
like a,
is
servant,
one
a stable boy who got kicked in the head by a mule as a kid or a horse as a kid, and so he can really he only says his name.
I don't know. That could be a pretty good chapter. That'd be interesting.
There'd be a lot of theoretical discussion about
what he sees.
It's actually his internal dialogue, and it's incredibly in depth.
Well, because it's over the shoulder, omnipotent kind of. So it would be like it wouldn't just be Hodor, 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 Hodor. It would be like Hodor saw Bran. move his toe, and he was like Hodor.
Well, and then you know it'd be like, what is he trying to say in his head, and then what's actually coming out, frustrated.
As a literary device,
you know?
That works, but you want someone there trying to interpret it. Otherwise, you're frustrating the reader and not a character. You're not advancing the narrative.
Look at that.
I think that would play out sort of like the Bing Chong Malkovich restaurant scene.
Malkovich, Malkovich, Malkovich.
Yeah, yeah,
it was.
That's pretty funny.
It's just Hodors everywhere. That's all he sees.
He only sees Hodors.
Yes. Look, I would also accept a chapter from Ghost, the dire wolf.
Well, that'd be interesting. Okay.
I just had this conversation with Tree Jeff, where I was like, you can't have a chapter from, like, he was like, he wanted a White Walker chapter. And I was like, you can't have a White Walker chapter because there are monsters in the book still. Just like you can't have a dragon chapter where it's like Rhaegal's like, feed me, because it's not interesting. It's a monster, and we don't want to know how the dragons think, because part of their charm is that they're
like
wild.
Fun. Yeah, like I don't want to know
their wild
society.
Cards.
I don't want to know what's going on or how they make things.
Yeah, anyone that you know something about, like on that level, then they can't be as scary, right? It's the unknown. And so you can't have a White Walker. You can't have a dire wolf. You can have a John chapter if he's in the dire wolf.
But then John. Now we've approached a theory on how he survives.
So before we go into the narrator, like who do you want to have a point of view chapter next? I think that we should start with the Jon Snow thing. And the question is, we'll just go around the table and say, first we'll do a lap where we say, is he dead or still alive? As the book and chat and the series ended. And then the next round, we'll say, does he stay dead? What happens next with them? Like, does he go to heaven? Does he get buried? This will go. So we can start with Dave.
I think I'm the only person on the planet who thinks that he is dead.
Okay.
I think he is dead. And I'll come back for my next round, okay. I guess.
I think he's dead, but I do raise the idea of him being in Ghost. That's possible. Like, but I don't think there's a lot of his intelligence in it. Like his relationship with that was very weak. So yeah, there might be the faintest little like of his memories in there, but it won't be him.
I think he's dead.
Do you?
Yeah.
I thought I was the only person.
No, you and I are the ones because
I think he'll be back, but I think he's dead right now.
Yeah, we should rephrase it. Like he's dead.
Okay.
If he's dead, he's not coming back.
So ever since I was very early on the theory of John's parentage, like Arthur book two.
Yeah.
And so I've always thought that's where the story was go. So if I abandon it now, even when he's dead.
But to be fair, you're also a man who's read The Wheel of Time. So like you're used to investing a lot of time into series no reason.
Let's talk about that series. No.
We can do it. I would love to. So
I would do it.
I think that somehow, some way, he's going to come back and be the same. Just because I don't want to give up on my theory yet.
He just come on back.
Just, I don't know. They put him in a Lazarus pit or something.
You think that like he just like missed vitals? And, and there's going to be someone who's one of the wildlings that he brought over happens to be like a very effective surgeon.
The Red Priestess is going to do something. Yeah. Or
he went to North Tech and has like a surgery degree from there. It's Dr. Hagrid the Giant to you.
He's really deft fingers.
All right, then you're going back around for what?
Yeah, so what do you think happens? So Dave thinks he's just dead, and that's
he
it.
Burns in
Move
hell.
On. They burn his body, and then he's ash, and from dust to dust.
I sure hope they burn his body.
Yeah. So you don't think he'll show up in the next?
I do not think that we will ever be seeing Mr. Jon Snow ever again.
Other than,
but you just said you don't think that he won't not ever come back.
No, he's gone.
No, what I was saying is there is a distinction between he's dead now versus
he could return.
But
you don't think he'll return.
There's precedent.
I think he's permadead.
So to explain to Josh, because Josh is our everyman, right? So in the Game of Thrones world, in Westeros, there's precedent for people dying and being dead forever. That's Ned Stark. There's precedent for people dying and coming back as like a version of themselves that were raised by a red priest. Who's like a foreign
but
priest.
Only in the book in the show
no because you
no,
meet Dundarian
no, the show as well
oh
yeah in the book Ladies and
in the show
Dundarian,
yes.
but there's another person so Catelyn Stark is in the book as the next version of the raised people
so it's like the doctor
no
it's, like they're clearly
it's
not
almost zombie
when Beric Dondarrion I think that was his Beric was his first name
they're raised with little memory
they're raised with like they're sort of like a specter of themselves that's focused on a primary part of their personality. Like whatever their main focus was when they died seems to be what they're raised as. And we don't know as the readers yet, 100%.
And it's the same body though.
Yeah. Same body, but there's like evidence. So like
there's evidence.
Dondarrion hung a bunch of times. And so like he has like a ring around his neck and then he has like a stab wound in him and stuff like that. Like I think there's evidence of some burning, but like you need,
but he's been raised
multiple times.
And so his memories are more intact, I think.
Yeah, he was raised like right away. And then at some point he has some agency too in picking the next one. So it's almost like there's some kind of like thing that's put in him that he can pass to someone else. They call it the kiss of life or kiss of fire.
Boy, you've read, when was the last time you read these books? Cause
like years ago.
Oh Jesus.
But
recall.
Yeah. I was like, I'm lucky if I can remember the main characters' names.
So replacing him was Lady Stoneheart in the books, who we're led to believe is Catelyn Stark's body.
Yeah.
But she was gone for a while. Like she floated down river.
Yeah.
And then it might've been like a long time that she's bloated to talk because she had her throat slit at the Red Wedding. She has to cover the slit.
Yeah.
To make
and she doesn't really talk in the book.
But she passes judgment on a character.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
Yeah. And so.
So there's precedent in the books, which they haven't touched on in the show at all, but there's precedent for a red.
And like the way that the series is going, it seems like maybe they won't bother with the Lady Stoneheart because you need like for her to have significance, you need Jamie Lannister in a different place than he is. Like the sprouting of the series, the TV show going from where he goes down to Dorne instead of going north.
They could have a different purpose for her later. Like,
yeah, they could always reintroduce her,
they could bring her
some
in.
Other way. But I mean, this last season by far was the most deviant from the book. Mm-hmm. Just like, which I enjoyed as a viewer because I was like, oh, I'm being surprised.
But in the book, the point is here that in the book, there's precedent for people being raised, but they don't look like
they're not.
They have
same.
To be kind of cloaked. They're not going to go like sit at court and everyone's going to be like, oh,
hey, what's up?
Yeah, people are going to be like, what the fuck? You're dead. I saw you die. You're alive again. Look, there's still your throat is still slit and bleeding.
They're kind of zombified.
And why are they raised?
Different question. Characters' different motivations.
For the Dondarrion, it was that he was the rallying force behind a group.
So they just get some dude to do it. It's not like this only this one person can raise people.
It's,
and
it's a religious frat.
It's the Red Priest.
And there's only two Red Priests.
There's a Red Priest and there's a Red Priestess. Yeah. So there's Thoros of Myr, right? Am I getting the name right? Myr, yeah.
The flaming red sword.
Frankincense and Myr.
Ah, yes.
And then the priestess is...
And then the priestess Melisandre, who has been with Stannis throughout the TV show and has, at the end of the series, left Stannis' side. We presume him dead. And she's returned to the wall just in time
like
basically watch Jon die. And in the book, it's worth noting that she's also there. But she never left the wall.
Yeah, she never left.
Theoretically, we think maybe she could... Some people believe, and maybe this is Cahill's.
That's my theory stance, as well. Yeah.
So what do you? So you? Think?
I feel like Melisandre, like she, we've seen another Red Priest raise the dead. She's back at the wall. Jon Snow has just stabbed a whole bunch, and she also already has some interest in him. Plus, I just really want to know what his history, like what his family is, like who are his parents. I really want to know. So I'm hoping from that perspective, like if he lives, I have a higher chance of learning who his parents were. So
and we don't
I'm
know what she's seen in the fire exactly, right? She says she sees the future, or like. Maybe past, but looking into the flames.
But she's always been attracted to power, more or less. Yeah. And she's been spending a lot of time with Jon Snow as well. Like she,
I know this is a common theory, but why do people not believe that Jon Snow is Ned's love and joy?
Because Ned never refers to him as his son.
Because they stretch the text. They're crazy people.
That makes sense.
Ned's a good dude.
They're in the book, there's a lot of hints of this last promise he made to his sister. And they've touched on it in the show, but in the books, there's a lot of little hints that Ned's sister and the Targaryen, I can't remember Rhaega? There was something going on. Now, in the books, they said it was forceful, but then they hinted that they might have actually been in love and were hiding it because he was supposed to marry someone else, or he was married to someone else.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where history is written by the victors, I think, where it was like, because Robert won the rebellion, it was painted as a rape, essentially.
Yeah.
And then, but versus the reality is very likely that it was that they were in love.
They've told this tournament story where the Targaryen, he wins at the tourney and gives the trophy, the prize, there's a rose, right? A white rose or something like that, or a winter rose, and gave it to her instead of who he was supposed and caused a big kerfluffle.
And then Robert Baratheon was so angry that basically that led to the rebellion.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why there's a lot
The theory, which is the one I was theorizing before I could read internet chat rooms about, you know, with Game of Thrones theories was he's Ned's covering up for his sister.
And it would
and
have to
he's
be
actually a, he is an heir to the throne.
If
same
you subscribe
as
to that, Dave, one of the big things that you have to think about here is that Ned would have to keep it very secret because he's close with Robert. Mm-hmm. Right. Robert would never stand. We've already seen that Robert, and this would add a little extra credence to Ned and Robert's exchange about killing the Targaryen kids, how he would kill a kid just because it's like
a threat,
right? So he like Ned has extra vested interest in this because maybe he was thinking about eventually coming clean and telling Robert that, right? This is all just projecting on all this, but like if anyone knew and it leaked back to Robert, that might destroy his relationship with Ned, right? So it has to be kept.
So the theory is at some point his parentage will come to light, and Jon ends up as one of the folks fighting for the king, being the king. Mm-hmm. And obviously that cannot happen if he dies on the wall. So it
so
was
you're wrong.
Well, and that's why I say
I know the payoff.
I believe this theory so strongly.
Yeah,
I've held it for so many years that somehow, some way,
you were the original crazy person. I got.
I wasn't the original, but there was.
Well, you say that you've been eating red herring for the last
either that
or whatever. Just a steady diet.
Like, I refuse, steady diet of red herring.
And but you know, every time, let's see, when's the last one? The last book came out 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I just remember all sorts of stuff getting introduced into the new book, and I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces moving, and I think that he keeps that going. I think that's what's so interesting about the books, is that there's a lot of rumor that you don't know, and there's a lot of, you never really have much confirmed 100%.
Yeah.
Until you get from a point of view of that character, but even
right,
then...
in that situation, but then just it's their that character. Yeah, it's their truth. It's what they're seeing, but their perspective.
All right, so Eric, what do you think happens to John? So, well, Cahill thinks that
Melisandre.
That Melisandre is going to raise him in a sort of litchy way. He's going to be filled with holes, but he'll be functional.
And if he has one purpose, it'll be defending the wall, probably. And that's going to be interesting, watching like people at the wall being like, oh, our Lord Commander is a lich now? Great. Fantastic.
The Lord Commander that we hated enough to murder.
It'll be so good.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll be a really useful pawn for her.
Politically, he'll be great. No.
And that's the thing is, like, it's unclear from the, what, because our introduction to this resurrection thing is the Dondarrion or the leader of the Brotherhood of Banners. And then the books, you have the little extra data, and that changes hands, that sort of spark changes hands to Lady Stoneheart. But it's still very unclear whether or not, like, how much power over that person the priest has. Mm. Like, it might just be like an extension of Thoros for all we know. And he wanted to sort of change.
Oh, you're attack. Thinking he might become like a puppet?
It's a puppet thing, or we don't know.
Ooh.
We don't know for sure. Ooh. Like, we have some, we have a little bit of data to go by, but
based on George R. Martin's track record, it's much more likely he's just dead.
Yeah.
I think he's dead, but
I think there could, like I said, there could be some of limited of his memories in Ghost, such that Ghost can, you know, so I mean, Ghost already has a tie to the Starks, but. Right.
What's so that's ghost? The other option. So
we haven't got another dire wolf.
Here's the next thing as far as like, so this is also a world where, so magic is limited, but there is some magic.
In the first book, it's a lot more rumor than actual anything
right.
thing
and
you
this,
see.
And this feels like something that is not necessarily magic, but like a trait that you're born with, that some people can, they can't shapeshift, but they can leave their body and like link with an animal and basically exist in the body and in the animal and to different levels. Like people are talented with it. And so they can completely leave their body, which is then defenseless, just sits there or like kind of just walks along.
Mm-hmm.
But
the first book opens near, it's not the first scene, but near the first scene where the kids of Ned Stark find these direwolf pups and each child ends up taking one. As
seen as a symbolic thing. They're not direwolves aren't supposed to exist south of the wall. That's not.
And so
but that's their family crest as a direwolf.
Most direwolves have had something bad happen to them. there's a few still around, and so
John's was an albino runt, and he was the bastard son.
And he's so there's this big direwolf that shows up every once in a while.
Two of them are dead? The three of them are dead.
So Sansa's died.
Lady's dead.
Lady died.
No, she's alive.
Arya's
wandering
around. Got run off. She's not dead, but she's wild.
Arya's is running free in the river
by the crossroads.
Summer, Bran's.
Bran's is still around, right?
Yeah.
Ghost
is still around.
Rickon's is still around. Shaggy dog.
Go crazy.
Rickon's is like locked up because it's he has the least seems to have the least control. It's the wildest. It's also probably the biggest.
Right.
He's the youngest son, and he's barely.
And then
had great wind.
Rob's
which made a nice hat.
Head got chopped off and put on his own body.
So two are dead. Four are still around.
Two are dead, and then Ghost is with John at the wall. And I think that I'd read. I don't remember this, but
or something.
John's last actual spoken word was Ghost.
In the book or the show?
In the book. And in the show, there's like a theory where like if you watch really carefully, his eyes sort of turn purple. But I think it really, if you watch it, is like just looks like the lighting. Mm-hmm. But if you want to go to that, I think that purple, first of all, Targaryen eyes are purple as a trait.
Did it close up in his? I don't remember the final scene. Did it close on his eyes?
And then it zooms in on his face.
So the next season, it's going to open up and it's Jack from Lost on the island.
Yes.
So he could theoretically be, he's John isn't a talented warg.
Like Bran is.
Bran connection has actually, like, at a couple points, entered Hodor's body.
Yeah.
Like, as humans, you have a natural defense, but you can fight for control of a human. But as intelligent creatures, apparently it's harder to do that because consciousness, human consciousness fights it. But, like, there's a warg that, a guy on the Wildlings who's, like, a really talented warg who can go into an eagle.
He fought.
And he's, you see him in the show.
With John.
And he does have a fight with John.
But he died, right?
And he's a scout. He was a scout and, like, was one of the guys who trusted John the least. And then Bran in the book.
I don't remember where he's at
more to the warging, like, but you only get a touch of it. That's sort of, like, seems to be Bran's destiny, is that he will become, like.
Yeah, like, didn't Bran, like, go into the tree?
He's in the tree.
Yeah,
now.
Bran started getting trained. This is a huge spoiler for people who haven't read the books, but they're, like, Bran was being trained by, like, the Children of the Forest or whoever he's with to like push his consciousness further and further away. So all, like, those trees, what are the trees called? The god trees or the
there's somebody listening to the podcast screaming
so
the name
angry
at us,
right now.
So mad at us.
I mean, keep in mind that I didn't cheat. None of us cheated and, like, went back and, like, did
read
a review,
books or anything.
Review on this. Eric and I have some conversations and we've referenced a few things to check names, but we're going to be worse when we do
Weirwood.
The Weirwood trees.
Weirwood trees.
So, like, you can see, they have the faces carved in them, and he can see out of the faces.
Oh, that's really cool.
So he went and visited, for instance, Winterfell.
And not from just present, place. Like, he can see past and future.
Yeah, that's a
faces.
Weird, it's like it ends up being like a much more broad.
I guess if we've been on this journey so long, and who knows when the next book's coming, but what do we picture as the final resolution of the series in terms of, like, at this point, I have a hard time seeing anyone uniting the Seven Kingdoms.
I feel like, let's save that. That should be our closing question.
Oh,
right. I got my end game, but yeah.
Yeah, because we have two more things.
We should get to the other questions then.
So you think that he wargs, or at least is it partially, like, ghosts will become like a conscious John?
Oh, I got a quick question. In the TV show, does Jon Snow ever warg?
He dreams.
Wolf dreams.
Sometimes.
All of the kids have at some point had wolf dreams or
in the
about
TV
them.
Show. Oh, I don't remember this.
I don't know about the show.
I have to go back and look. I feel like there was, like, one of the season, like, openings was, like, a wolf dream, and I don't remember whose it was, but maybe I'm making that up.
It had to have been Bran.
Yeah.
Or Bran.
Bran. Yeah, I don't know if he does in the show.
So that would make that harder for him to do, but between seasons, you can change.
I think he's dead, though. We're not going to see him again.
So, I mean, and then I'm quick. I think he's dead. I think he's gone forever. I think there's plenty of precedent of this happening in the series. I think that, you know, this is a world where people die all the time, no matter what we think of them, especially principled people who don't really aren't aware of their surroundings socially. That's how Ned died. John is more Ned's
Rob
son
died.
Than anyone else.
Yeah.
He fell for essentially the same shit that Ned did. Same, you know, apple doesn't fall far from the tree, no matter who actually fathered a kid. And I also always subscribe to the idea that Jon Snow was Ned's kid. I liked that idea because Ned was a principled dude and really only had that. And I like that he had more depth.
Nope, you're wrong.
I like that he had that moment of, like, he succumbs to the fire and
John
and
is a Targaryen.
The of war and the
John is a Targaryen.
So who are his parents then? You think
for Brian's theory?
For
Jeff's
theory. His Ned's sister,
Rhaegal Targaryen,
Rhaegar, Mad King.
No, Caitlin, not the Mad, like
Caitlin
the Mad King's
Stark's
son, right?
Lyanna. Sister,
Rhaegar and Lyanna.
Yeah.
Okay. But, like, what? How is Lyanna described? Isn't she blonde?
No. There's been a couple things about the eyes being. I don't remember.
But I thought that she's a Tully, but I thought Blackfish was dark-haired. They were, like, more like sandy-colored. And in that case, like the Stark, Ned Stark's thing, like where he discovered, what was it? Like the blood is strong.
The seed is strong.
He looks like a Stark. He doesn't look like a Targaryen /
She wasn't a Tully. Ned's sister wasn't a Tully.
Oh, she was a
she
Stark.
Was a Stark.
I thought she was a Tully. I thought it was Caitlin.
She was a Stark.
Sister.
All right.
Like all the Targaryens have the white silver hair, right?
Yeah, and purple eyes, like blue.
I know,
eyes.
And his hair is black.
Very much not any of that.
Ryan's theory is that they're going to put
they're
going to
the
burn his body
inbreeding.
Essentially before he dies, and he'll be reborn in the fire because
probably not in this case.
Because Targaryens are reborn
in fire.
So
that's why you
put good fire.
Breaks the thing.
But that's like, then why wouldn't, why, how did Targaryen ever die? Just put their corpse in a fire and they're reborn. It's like,
done.
Yeah.
What's your next? No, I've already answered.
Okay, so the next question is then, like, knowing what we know now from the series and the book, what, like, what do we think? Who do you think the point of view characters will be? Or, and oh, who do you hope will be the point of view characters? And I can open for this one because this is sort of the focus of it from our lunch conversation is that I think, well, so we know that Sansa is because the sample chapter is a Sansa chapter.
I haven't read that.
Oh, well, spoiler.
Fine.
Samples,
but and that's like total departure from the TV show because she's not in the same place.
Yeah, they're in completely different places.
One would assume that if Arya's story is told at all, that she has to be in it because really no one else to tell her story.
Her.
So there's going to be Arya chapters, and then Bran's story has to get told. So it's either him or what are the frog trident?
Yeah,
people? What are they? The girl from that might be an interesting character. I think Jeanette.
Orsha.
What?
Osha, no, Osha's the wildling.
Osha's the wildling. She's with Rickon, and she might have one.
Bran.
Wait, with Bran. I mean, it would be...
Oh, wait, no. She, yeah, she's not with Bran.
She's
I'm
with
sorry.
Rickon. She's with Rickon. On like, an isolated island somewhere, sort of like positioned away from the story. Although there was a little bit of maneuvering. Like, the Grey Island stuff might end up... the Iron Island stuff might end up affecting them.
Mira. Mira Reed is the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she might be an interesting character because she has some magic. I feel like at this point... magic is becoming more and more like a into question. It's time for us to have some characters who were before mysterious.
And now you know what's going on.
Start
with
wielding. Yeah. Like start like getting some point of view. So like my big thing is that I want and think that Melisandre will get the chapters.
I think that was one of my problems with the last book is he kept telling point of view stories from characters I didn't want points of view from because they weren't the stories I was
Sam
interested
Tarly
in.
Sam is not an interesting person.
Well.
A Theon chapter.
It's just, no, like in the book, he introduces a brand new player for the throne completely out of nowhere. And then you're like, whoa, where did this come from?
Yeah, why is that thing now?
I think that's who's claiming Targaryen lineage as well.
I think that's
and I'm like,
that was a really interesting piece though.
So no, it bothered me.
I liked it a lot.
So I'm like, I expect things to be wrapping up at some point and
I don't
a new branch.
I don't expect that to be irrelevant to the show. Like I almost think that Tyrion is like sort of, because in the book Tyrion's with that pretender.
Yes.
He's left to guard.
He doesn't even like meet Daenerys in the book. Yeah. Like he ends up at
he's in the camp, but he doesn't.
Yeah, he ends up being part of the entertainment of the Colosseum.
Like but like in the series and in the book, or in this TV show and in the book, Daenerys is off having her like dragon bat mitzvah where she's like, I'm coming of age. No, I can ride a dragon. It was so great. And so there's nothing stopping Tyrion from like, especially now that he's back with the eunuch. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Spider.
Varys.
Varys.
That he and
character.
Tyrion might combine to do a pretender.
Oh,
well. To like test the landing for Daenerys, like almost be like put him there and let him draw all the people
like,
out and see where loyalties fall without putting her at stake. Like I could see that being something that they do.
I think at this point, then I don't care who has the point of view as long as it's advancing a story to the point where I can see a conclusion.
But like I think that you need to know what magic because Melisandre is so mysterious and she's so interesting and she could.
Oh,
be
you're just
nuanced.
In love with her because she's a redhead.
She's been.
I've gotten to the root of the whole thing. Brian's obsessed with the character because she's an attractive
more
redhead.
More fan art.
You be Sunder.
Yes.
I had this psychological epiphany about you just now.
Yeah, I want to date a redhead, but I don't want to date someone who has kids. And she already has a shadow baby.
Shadow baby's
a real handful. Yeah.
Deal breaker. High maintenance.
You wake up, honey, what are you doing with those leeches full of my blood?
All right, I broke mine into sort of areas. So like I want to see more of Dorne. So either
oh my god,
either point of view or Marcella,
like in the minority.
Tell us how you feel, David.
Either Marcella or one of the Sandstake girls, daughters.
Marcella, where would Marcella leave off in the books? Like she was
scarred,
wounded.
Lost an ear, but still in Dorne.
Okay.
The Wildling army, like Mance Rayder, might be a good option.
So that's one
of the books.
That's a crazy
he's
one
not
for
dead
TV series.
In the books.
Sure.
In the TV series, he dies. And in the book, everyone watches him die, but it ends up being an illusion that Melisandre cast Which is like that. This will circle back to my Melisandre thing, but Mance is alive and he's like near Winterfell.
Sure.
In Brian's version of the story, Melisandre is the protagonist.
Five books about Melisandre.
She's played by Angie Everhart.
I think that's funny that that's your ideal redhead vision.
A young Nicole Kidman.
And the other one is, I'll call it the Dragon Army. So either like Grey Worm or Miss Andy, someone there that can see, that's seeing a lot of stuff happening.
It'd be interesting with them right now being like, who are these fools hanging out with
No one wants to hear the point of view of the rabble on the ground. You want the point of view of the general.
There, Grey Worm's a general.
Well,
Miss Andy's like, she's like totally.
I always felt like
Grey
Worm wasn't self aware enough because he was trained as a soldier for so long that he's sort of like a one dimensional.
It could be.
He's slowly learning. He's like coming of age. Whereas like the Miss Andy, she might be interesting. She could.
She's seen a lot. Like she has a lot.
Keep in mind, it's still like a Game of Thrones kind of thing. You need someone who can.
But I want a character with enough power to push the narrative.
Advance things on their own and not just react to things.
I don't think...
Give me a third Daenerys. Give me a third of whoever's up at the wall.
There's no question
Give me
that,
a third of...
There's no question that Melisandre is a player.
Oh, she's...
Will you stop? Everything you say about her is now tainted
and
colored by now that you have this...
Stop.
Incredible infatuation with her.
I don't have an infatuation with her. I want to know more about how magic works in this world, and she is one of the magic wielders.
But also, Melisandre is one of the few characters who's done anything who's still alive at the wall.
Yeah, she's
right
been
now. We have no visibility on the wall besides.
She's had her hand in a few pots now. She's sort of with John.
If John's dead right now, like who's going to show us what's happening at the wall?
Yeah, and so she's this true, and she's like affected the Mance thing. So
Mance
she's
is close to the wall. He's only in Winterfell. He could get to the wall real fast.
She's wielding potential power over the wildlings through Mance. She was like hugely involved in all the Stannis stuff, and she's like somewhat involved at the wall. But I mean, also she's someone who presumably she's seen all this stuff in the future and has been acting purely like we're led to believe that she saw stuff in the flames and was following
Working
that.
Towards it. Yeah.
So she saw Stannis was going to be a person of power. She saw Jon was a person of power. Between the TV series and the book, both of them have died. I think in the book Stannis is still alive, but isolated.
I thought so. I don't remember.
I think that really the TV series just took Stannis further. Like, it's only a matter of time before he dies. But in either case, she's ripe to be someone who's having a crisis of faith, right? Like, she's seen all this stuff. Her god has told her this stuff is going to happen. None of it's happening. All the people that she thought were going to be rulers and that she was supposed to be here following his guidance for are all dead. So now we get to see what's going on with her. And she's like, is she going to give up on her thing and become like a rogue, just like magic wielder? Or is she going to double down? Does she need to try to resurrect John, or does she give up at that? Like, there's all kinds of stuff where it's like, I think you really only know from her perspective. Plus, she's been super like, oh, I think at some point she mentions that she uses like manipulation as far as like essentially as like a handmaid, like does like a performance magician.
Yeah,
I think if
that.
We open Brian's computer, we're going to find pages and pages of Melisandre
fanfiction.
that's what this podcast has taught me.
Yes.
For some notes.
I'm really glad I invited you to this podcast.
So I can,
all right. Anyone else with views
you
would like?
Don't read the book, David. You don't care. No, who do you want point of view in the next season?
Don't forget about Davos, the Onion Knight, who is also at the wall and also an interesting character.
Yeah,
also
he's had point of view chapters already.
He's had,
He is very cool.
I like him.
And he seems like
he's the only reason I kind of root for Stannis every once in a while because
like,
I don't care about Stannis, but I like him.
I liked Stannis. I thought
I liked Stannis too. You knew what you were getting with Stannis.
Yeah,
he was a hard man.
If I were in that world and I had to pick from any of the remaining people like players at the throne, I wanted Stannis to be king because I felt like they needed to restore order.
I'd choose Daenerys at this point.
Daenerys can't even maintain
any sort of
a
order.
City that used to be completely organized.
But she's trying.
And like
she makes decisions for the most part out of goodness.
She now effectively
flew away on her dragon.
But she has a dream team there now. She has Tyrion and Varys now.
If you have the opportunity to fly away on a dragon, you take that opportunity.
Yeah, things aren't working out for her, so she runs off and pounces on a mountaintop.
Look, but she has her dream team.
We've all had those moments.
Actually, it's not like she doesn't really have agency in where she is too. That's what's annoying. Yeah. Is like you're like she's the most important person, and she like she gets stuck on the dragon's back to get away, and then she just has to go where the dragon.
Honestly, I want this assassin in training, Arya, to become queen of the Seven Kingdoms. If we're going to be real honest.
Yeah. You want her to become the stranger.
I would rather the next book just be her story, because that is Arya by far Arya's the most evil interesting.
Promotion to
godhood. I'm a fan of that storyline, too. And Bran, I want
what
more.
About what's happening at the Red Keep, and what's going on there?
Who cares?
I would like more like point of stabbing.
Cersei?
I'd like Cersei's pet necromancer maester for a point of view character.
Yeah, there's nobody left there that I care
about. Another way to bring
about.
People back from the dead, by the way.
The weird necromancer, her, like, former
hey, how you doing?
Meister.
The fake maester.
I mean, I guess we're going to end up with Samwell Tarly chapters because we have to see what's happening at the
not necessarily. Like, he could just disappear and then come back.
Here's what I learned. Because it's not going to be interesting to have him, like, hanging out in a library, right?
In the book, there's a thing going on where he went off with Gilly, but they switched
the babies.
Right.
To get the baby away from Melisandre.
Yeah. These books are weird. I don't know why you read them.
So there's a whole different plot line about trying to hide royal blood away from
Melisandre.
Why do the books keep deviating from the storyline?
Yeah, the well-established television storyline.
Yeah.
And again, that is interesting. That's an interesting twist. If you see it through Melisandre's eyes, otherwise we already kind of know it happened. God damn it,
Jeff. I don't have to say anything
at that
now.
Point for the podcast audience.
I mean, who's like
for him? It's just the story of fire, not a fire and ice.
I don't really think
those two fiery eyes glistening in the firelight.
Story needs to be told
in front of fire,
especially if it takes pages away from
at the fireplace.
Poor Brian, you just look so sad right now, Brian. You're just trying.
Jeff, go to your room.
It's because there's an element of truth to it, which is why it's so funny.
She's not a natural redhead. She died at Red.
This is a really long podcast, and I don't envy Josh the editing. So let's cut
it down.
So the last question is, I guess, what is the general conflict here?
Endgame?
Like, what is the endgame? Most people, I mean, the general consensus, the big broad stroke is everyone thinks that, well, tells you right in the title.
It's
Song
fire.
Of Fire and Ice, so you're going to have dragons have to fight the White Walkers, and that's all there is. And then it's sort of like a parable on seasons and like how you shouldn't live where
white after Labor Day.
Don't live where it's cold and don't live where it's hot. Just stay in the middle and you'll avoid the whole conflict. Safe. You'll be fine. Just stay in the Riverlands. You know, everything's good. And just humans should stay out of it.
Know.
Humans should are only there know. Long enough to sort of like maintain borders and raise dragons, and that's it.
There's definitely going to be
what God intended
like
it.
That northern army cold is going to keep sweeping south, and I think it's going to, like, someone, and I have no idea who it's going to be, but someone's going to gather forces and, you know, and it could be multiple armies, you know.
They're all going to set aside their differences.
Armies are going to, you know, fight it out in some grand battles.
So you think that the big set piece battle that was like what episode 8 or whatever was like a precursor, like a test. So they had to have that scene to show us how important it was to maintain a wall.
Yeah, they're going
to
come way south of the wall. Yeah, they're like
You think it's going to take them getting to like the twins or something, and then
are like, oh shit, this is a problem for
real. Gonna, I mean, even the twins, that is so far north of King's Landing. Like it doesn't even like they don't even worry about what happens.
You think
there's
going to be a battle of dragons and White Walkers in King's Landing?
Flea
Bottom.
I would suspect what's the Tyrell place?
Moon
yeah.
Because we haven't done much there.
The breadbasket of the Seven Kingdoms.
Like
that's where all their wheat goes. Yeah, that's all I know. Like,
we need bread.
Like that would hurt the kingdoms. Like if there was a major battle
that'd be a real problem.
There, that would be a real problem.
Yeah, I could see it ending in some sort of
well, I think that they'll become
the
more
White
involved
Walkers
with
and
the,
then they all sing Kumbaya.
The pretender sweeping the pretender army sweeping up from the south, that the Tyrells area is going to get more involved quickly because they're going to be between everything. Because so far they've been most action that we've followed has been to the north, but they're to the south.
When I used to describe the books before HBO optioned everything to someone, I would always say it's the fantasy book that you never know what's going to happen next. Yeah. He was really good at, well, after four books, we kind of know, well, this character's going to die. That's what we know is going to happen next. This people are going to die, and you're going to learn a lot about food. But I still think that, honestly, who knows where it's going to go? He's when you think it's going to go this way, it goes that way. He's been very good about that. And none of the plots have ended up really going along, except that John kept staying alive, and now that's all fucked up. So nothing that I have predicted or thought in my head, it's going to go this way, has ever manifested in that book.
So, but you want Arya to become like
master assassin.
But then, you know, that the way that they're teaching it, in order for her to do that, she has to let
stop
go.
Being,
of
she
herself.
Has to stop being herself. I know. She has to.
So then you lose another. You're basically killing another Stark.
I feel like one left at the end. It'll be fine.
Whatever.
My personal end game is having the White Walkers just kill everyone, and then Varys and Littlefinger are like, wait a second, you guys need advisors? We know what's going on here. And that's what they do.
And they like just paint their faces.
Yeah, they're like whatever.
It's the Shaun of the Dead ending. So it just ends with Varys and Littlefinger going, would anybody like a peanut?
that's my, yeah.
That was really powerful with the two of them together.
At the end of the last episode, Varys being like, hey, what's up? Just got here, hanging out. Yeah.
A little fist bump.
Karen's like, oh, come on. How did you get here?
In the books, I think Littlefinger's the most interesting character to
He's my favorite character in the series, see, unfortunately.
Operate. But he's also like a little bit creepier.
He's just
a little creepier.
He's a lot creepier in the books.
He's so slimy and gross.
Have we done point of view of him? I don't
know. Yeah, in the books? There's got to be at least one or two.
No, I think it's been Sansa. Wasn't it?
I think it's always been other people.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
And that's why the Sansa chapters have been so interesting the last couple, the last couple books, because you're learning, like, he's teaching her. And what they did in the series was that he was actually just manipulating her the whole time.
Yeah.
But you think, because we are led to believe that his own little, like, infatuation with Caitlyn passed on to her. And so his motivation is just to try to, like...
Yeah, in the books, his love for her is a lot stronger, if I remember correctly.
Whereas, like, it ends up being, she ends up being a pawn.
Or his lecherous love for her.
So creepy. So,
he just loves the power.
He's the weird dude that loves redheads. Am I right, Brian?
Creepy. That's gross.
I love it when it comes out of left field from Mr. Kaufman.
We're talking about Jerry. Jerry likes redheads.
Don't deflect. I'm going to go ask Jerry who his favorite character in Game of Thrones is.
Melisandre, of course.
You know his answer is going to be Game of What? And pretend that he doesn't know because he already knows where you're going with this.
That's probably true.
David, what are your thoughts for
Endgame?
Everyone we care about is going to continue to make their way over to the Eastern continent, and then the White Walkers can just keep Westeros for themselves.
With berries and Littlefinger.
It's like a giant game of Risk where the White Walkers have come out of Australia to take over the rest of that continent.
The children
continent.
Of the forest are like, sweeping. You marginalized us for this? Ah, fine. And then they have to fight them again. It's just the ancient battle.
Where does the giant end up? The giant of the wall? Is he part of this? Does he go?
Yeah. He'll just walk across the
He's
water.
A White Walker giant.
Whatever it is that he does to get across water.
And then he'll push the Titan out of the way and then just stand there.
I like that you two saw that same issue.
Wait a second.
Apparently he just walked through water.
Yeah.
He's the Jesus giant.
What did we think was that he would water ski? He would just get on two little boats, like, put a foot here, put a foot there, and then they would just get a boat going real fast, and you just...
If he's swimming, like, that's dangerous for those boats. There's waves everywhere. It's a giant.
He's the Michael Phelps of giants.
Isn't and that Michael he Phelps loves a giant?
That, yeah.
All right, we are...
Well,
thank you.
Good podcast.
But how do you end these things?
Is that it?
Their
end game.
We wanted to wrap it up for you. I mean, the end game is so. I think not.
Melisandre takes control of the Seven Kingdoms
with Arya as her assassin,
and rises her chosen one, her chosen mate to the kingdom.
Brian Mary Sue,
from Connecticut.
Can we all just show some appreciation for Brian for focusing on Melisandre instead of Sansa?
Well, Brian, if nothing is, Well, never mind.
He's not Jeff. Come on.
No.
Since it's taking my little finger. I can't even like respect little fingers. Manipulation is too much.
I thought that was a euphemism.
Oh, man.
Cut it out. Josh, just cut that out.
I think we all thought that was
you were being literal. I thought you were making a euphemism. I was laughing at what a great joke that was. Brian is so red right now.
This was supposed to be like a fun, interesting podcast. Jeff ruined it. It was a very civil, wonderful conversation we had at lunch one day when you were at E3.
Is this what happens on these podcasts?
Jeff just ruins everything.
I ruin them all.
All right. If you have any questions or topics you would like us to discuss, please email podcast@penny-arcade.com. Thanks. Bye.